You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast.
Welcome to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. On this podcast, the focus is on answering listener questions. And if you have a question for a future episode, I'll let you know how you can submit that once we get to the end today. This is episode 10 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. And we're going to be doing something a little bit different today from our regular format. Rather than answering a particular question that was submitted by a listener, we're going to be talking about some current events that everyone has on their mind right now. Recently, there was a man in Minnesota who was killed by the police. And of course, as has happened before in tragedies like this, the individual was a black man. He was killed by police officers there. And so this has caused the issue of race and racism to once again come to the forefront of discussions in our society. And this one in particular, more than a lot of some of these other cases. And so people are talking about the problems of racism and different matters related to that. There have been protests that have gone on all over the country. Most of these protests have been peaceful, but there has also been rioting and looting and violence in different places. And so there are all sorts of things that people are talking about and people have different opinions on. And what we're going to talk about today is not about that case specifically. The individual that everyone's talking about now, George Floyd, who was killed up in Minnesota, a lot of people have their opinions about what happened in that case. We're not going to talk about that specifically. Because as events happen and different facts and sometimes distortions of facts take place, that there's a lot of misinformation out there. There's a lot of people's opinions out there. What I want to talk about are some basic principles that in any time an event happens like this, there are certain things that we need to be reminded about from the scriptures. And so rather than talk about this specific case, I want us to take some time and be reminded of some basic principles from the scriptures. We're going to be looking at 7 points from the scriptures that we need to remember about this case or any case like it. Because there are some things that we need to remember that if we don't have a biblical foundation and a biblical worldview, we're going to look at these events all wrong. Whether it's through a racist perspective or on a completely different side of this, where we only focus on some of these things and ignore some of the other ones, and we still end up in a wrong place. I want us to take some time and look at some basic principles from the Bible that we need to remember for situations like this. The first point we need to remember, and the most obvious one we need to emphasize here, is that racism is wrong. There is no biblical defense for racism. Those who claim to try to use the Bible to defend racist ideas are not using the Bible, they're misusing the Bible. The Bible teaches that all men are made in the image of God, not just those of a certain race, not just, well, there are some who are more highly evolved than others. When you get the godless theory of evolution in here, you have the tendency to think that, well, maybe one race is more highly evolved than the other race. No, all were made in the image of God. All are made in His image. That was true back in the beginning in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27 when God said, let's make man in our image. And all of us have one common ancestry. When Paul was talking to the Gentiles, the Greek philosophers on Mars Hill in Athens in Acts chapter 17, he said that God made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth. That means that all of us, regardless of what race we may happen to belong to, all of us are part of the same human family. All of us have been made in the image of God. And because we have all been made in the image of God, we are all welcome to God. We are all welcome to come to Him. In Isaiah 2, there's a prophecy of the establishment of the Lord's kingdom. And it mentions that people from every nation would stream into the Lord's kingdom because He would welcome them. When Peter went to the household of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, he spoke to him there and explained what he had learned in that chapter from God revealing these visions to them, to him, that of people from every nation who would fear God and do what is right, they would be welcome to him. Paul wrote over in Galatians chapter 3 this idea of people from every nation, no matter who they were, no matter where they came from, they were welcome to God. And in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28, he says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Everyone can be welcomed by God. It doesn't matter what race they belong to. It doesn't matter what nation they came from. Everyone can be welcomed by God." And so if we are to be godly, Christ-like, we are to welcome people as well. We are to see others as equal because they were made in the image of God just as we have been made in the image of God. So it doesn't matter who we're talking about. It doesn't matter if we are one race and they are another race. Everyone has been made in the image of God. And so therefore we are equals. And so we should be welcoming of everyone. And so fundamentally, racism is wrong. What we also need to understand, be reminded of, and something that is probably obvious to all of us, is that murder is wrong. The reason why murder is wrong is stated in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6 is because all men have been made in the image of God. Because everyone has been made in the image of God, every life is valuable. And so to deliberately take someone's life, and that is what murder is, where we are intentionally taking someone's life, that's wrong because we're taking the life of one who has been made in the image of God. And so God has always condemned murder. We think of the Ten Commandments and the most well-known instructions or commandments of God that are found in the Scriptures are the Ten Commandments. And one of those commandments in Exodus 20 and verse 13 is, "You shall not murder." However, it's not just in the Old Testament that God condemned this, but even in the New Testament. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 1 verses 9 and 10 that murder is one of those things that is contrary to sound doctrine. Now, this may seem obvious, but even things that seem obvious, we need to be reminded of from time to time. Murder is wrong. Another thing that is wrong is stealing. Stealing is wrong. That the possessions that we have or that other people have, those are blessings from God. The wise man said over in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 19 that when someone has wealth, it is the gift of God. A lot of people have a backwards concept of that. They think that, well, if someone has wealth, then that's a bad thing. Well, if someone has wealth, it is a gift of God. Now, it is true that a lot of people with wealth abuse the blessings that they have. And because they have what Paul warned about in 1 Timothy chapter 6, the love of money, they have done unethical things in order to obtain as much wealth as they could. But the fact remains that the Scriptures show that physical possessions that we have are blessings from God. And Paul would go on to say that in 1 Timothy chapter 6, after he warned Timothy that the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. Not money, but the love of money. He said in verse 17, "Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy." God is the one who blesses even those who are wealthy. God is the one who is the source of all of these blessings. And so because of that, God has always condemned stealing. You have, again, in the Ten Commandments, you have in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 15, "You shall not steal." There was to be a respect and a recognition of the property rights of each individual, that they had a right to have what God blessed them with. And someone else didn't have a right to take that from them. That would be wrong. That was contrary to the will of God. Paul mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that those who would steal, they would not be able to inherit the kingdom of God unless they would be ones who would repent of that. And Paul talked about that in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. The one who steals is to steal no longer, but instead he's to work with his hands so that he can not only provide for himself, but also have something to share with the one who has need. But stealing is wrong. Now, another thing that we need to remember, and this is something that maybe we don't often talk about in context of what the Bible teaches, but the Bible does teach this, and that's that civil authorities are often corrupt. When you have events like what we are seeing now currently, and sadly we will probably see events like this in the future, that these things tend to happen periodically. And the reason for that is because civil authorities, whether we're talking about politicians, even on down to sometimes law enforcement officers, those who are upholding the law or enforcing the law, a lot of times you have individuals that are corrupt. Not all the time. Now, a lot of times you have law enforcement officers, generally speaking, in our society, those who are law enforcement officers are good and are trying to do the best job that they can. But even then, you have some who are corrupt. You have some who are bad cops. And you have in the New Testament, you have much of the persecution that early Christians had to endure was at the hand of civil authorities. In Acts chapter 12, you have James who was put to death, and Peter who was, they planned to put him to death, and the one who was behind that was Herod. And then you had different authorities or different people in who were enforcing his rulings who were putting James to death and planned to put Peter to death. You had the soldiers who were guarding the prison where Peter was miraculously delivered from. But you had those people who were involved in that. You have in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, the church in Smyrna was told in verse 10, be faithful until death. But before we get there in that verse, they were warned that the devil was going to cast some of you into prison and you would have tribulation 10 days. Well, what was he talking about there? He wasn't talking about Satan himself taking some physical form and grabbing these Christians and capturing these Christians and locking them up in some prison somewhere. He was talking about civil authorities, the ones who had the authority to arrest people and to take them and put them in prison. They were going to be doing the work of Satan. They were going to be acting as ministers of Satan because they were refusing to submit to God and act as ministers of God, as Romans 13 talks about. They were going to instead act as ministers of Satan. So the Lord was able to say that the devil is going to cast some of you into prison. Civil authorities can act as ministers of the devil, which happened then and even can happen today. God gave civil authorities a particular role. This is outlined in Romans chapter 13 and also 1 Timothy chapter 2. Romans 13 talks about how they are to punish those who do what is evil, and by extension, they are to protect those who are innocent. They're not to punish those who are innocent, they punish those who are evil. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul told Timothy that he was to teach that Christians are to pray for those who are in authority so that we can lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. What that means is, he was not saying, well, pray for those who are in authority so that they will, you know, provide funding for your congregation so that they might do this or that. No. He's saying, pray for them that they will leave you alone and you can have the freedom to worship God, to serve Him according to what He has instructed in His Word, so that as we serve God, we're not facing persecution, but instead we're able to lead a tranquil and quiet life as we exercise godliness and live in dignity. That was the prayer that Paul told Timothy that he was to teach, that Christians were to pray for those who are in civil authority. Unfortunately, a lot of times this doesn't happen. You have leaders who, because they are human, they fail to fulfill their God-given role. This could be out of some malicious intent that you have wicked rulers, and it could just be people who are well-intentioned, but simply get things wrong. And so because of that, they might pass laws that are wrong. You might have law enforcement officers that might do things that they shouldn't do, that are contrary to what they are supposed to be doing. And sometimes it's because they are wicked and evil and corrupt. And sometimes they just make a mistake. Or sometimes they may have good intentions, but they just do things wrong. But because they are human, regardless of the motivation behind it, they're not always going to do things the right way. They're not always going to do what God has ordained for them to do. And so sometimes people think, well, that solution is that we need to just have some bigger government structure, some bigger bureaucracy to oversee this. But the wise man talked about this in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 8, where he said, if you see the oppression of the poor and denial of justice, he says, don't be surprised. And the reason why he says don't be surprised is not because, well, there's just not a strong enough government structure to oversee these things. And if we just had some stronger government agency overseeing these things, then we might have the poor who would be taken care of, and we might have justice in the street. No, that's not what he said. He said, don't be surprised at this, because you have one official who watches over another official, and there are higher officials over him. He's describing this bureaucracy, and he's writing this. This is Solomon, King Solomon, writing from the perspective of one who was at the top of that pyramid, not someone who is at the bottom and being oppressed and say, well, you know, you look at this government structure and you look at this, these higher officials and one official over another, and well, it's no wonder that they can't get anything done. That he wasn't talking about this from a perspective like you or me, or like someone who was at the bottom who was being oppressed. He was at the top, and he could recognize in the wisdom that he had from God, and as he observed all of these things, he could see that there are things that slip through the cracks. There are things that don't get done, and it's when you have this larger structure, and you have one official watching over another official and higher officials over him, there's a lack of accountability. It can, when there's a problem, when there's something that needs to be addressed, well, it can just be passed off to someone else. And there's no individual accountability. And so having bigger government doesn't fix these things. And so when we see problems, the answer is not necessarily, well, what can we add? What government agency could we add? Or what laws can we add? That's not always going to be the answer. These civil authorities, because they are human, they are not infallible. They are not God. And the rulers and the ones who work for them and enforce the laws, they are not infallible. And so because of that, when they do what is wrong, and sometimes they do what is wrong, they can be called out for that. Now, there's some people think, well, Christians shouldn't be doing that. Christians shouldn't be calling out the authorities for doing something wrong. But if you look over in Acts chapter 16, you have the example of the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul was the one who wrote the words in Romans chapter 13 about how we are to be subject to governing authorities. And some have taken that to mean that, well, we just can't question them, or we can't call them out when they're wrong. You know, in Acts chapter 16, Paul was wrongly imprisoned in Philippi. He was imprisoned, falsely accused, without a trial. He was beaten. He was put in prison. He and Silas, they were put in prison. And of course, a lot of times we focus on the fact that he was able to convert the jailer in his household. But what else is going on in that chapter is that the authorities, after all of this happens, they realize that they shouldn't have done this to Paul. He's a Roman citizen. And so it was not something that should have happened. And so they wanted to sweep this under the rug, which is not surprising. You see this happening today. Every government agency or authority or a nation wants to just sweep things under the rug that are going to cause them problems, that are PR disasters for them. They just want to act as if it never happened. They want to quiet people. This is what they tried to do with Paul. But in Acts chapter 16 and verse 35, it says, when the day came, the chief magistrates and their policemen sent their policemen saying, release those men. And the jailer reported these words to Paul, saying, the chief magistrates have sent to release you. Therefore, come out now and go in peace. The jailer's probably thinking, well, here, this is good news. They're going to let you go, and you can go and not, you know, not have to face any more punishment, not to be in jail any longer. Notice what Paul says. Verse 37, Paul said to them, they have beaten us in public without trial, men who are Romans, and have thrown us into prison, and now they are sending us away secretly. Now they're trying to sweep this under the rug. And so Paul says, no, indeed, but let them come themselves and bring us out. And the policemen reported these words to the chief magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and appealed to them. And when they had brought them out, they kept begging them to leave the city. And so here you have the authorities obviously did something that was wrong. That they had allowed Paul to be beaten, to be put in prison without a trial, even though he was a citizen. They knew they could have gotten in a lot of trouble for this. And so they begged Paul, just go on your way. You can be free. You can go. Just please leave. So what did Paul do? Did Paul, as a good little citizen, just, okay, I'm just going to quietly leave? No. He left when he was ready to leave, not just quietly leave when they wanted him to. It says there they wanted them to leave. But verse 40, they went out of the prison, entered the house of Lydia, and when they saw the brethren, they encouraged them. Then they departed. So Paul wasn't going to just allow them to just get away with whatever they were going to do and just, well, they want to sweep this under the rug. I'll just go ahead and cooperate. No, let them come down. This is going to be a public thing. Let them come down and release us because they put us here when they shouldn't have. Let them be held accountable for this. Now, Paul wasn't going to stir up violence or anything like that, but he was going to call them to account and call them out for what they had done wrong to him. They abused their power. They made a mistake. And it didn't matter whether this was intentional or out of bad intentions or not. They did something that was wrong. Paul called them out on it and still wasn't in a hurry to leave when they asked him to leave. He went and met with the brethren, and then when he was done, then he left. But the scriptures show, a lot of times we don't talk about this, but the scriptures show that civil authorities are often corrupt. We need to remember that. Another point that we need to remember in cases like this, when we hear news events and we hear reports, and even sometimes when there may be some video evidence or different people on different sides or saying different things, we need to remember that it is foolish to make judgments without all of the relevant information. Now, sometimes we can make judgments that we may not have all the information, but we may make a reasonable judgment based on the evidence that is available. But we need to be careful not to rush to judgment. Proverbs 18, verse 13 says that if we give an answer before we hear, it is foolish, it is folly, it is shame for us to give an answer before we hear all of the facts. And sometimes in the world of social media, especially, where everyone wants to just spout off their opinion on everything that happens, we need to wait. We need to not just spout off our opinion on everything that happens and rush to judgment because we may not have all of the information. Maybe we think that, well, this is what happened, but really other evidence comes forward later and shows that, well, this is actually what happened, or that was only part of the story. We don't need to give an answer on a matter of judgment without all of the evidence. Now, we can do what we're doing here and state biblical principles and teach the truth, but as far as rushing to judgment on some matter, we don't need to do that. Sometimes evidence is overwhelming. A lot of times it's not. And we need to be careful not to rush to judgment. Because in Proverbs 18 and verse 17, just a few verses later, the wise man said, the first one to plead his case seems right until you have someone else come along. And you have the other side of the story. When you only hear one side of the story, well, that side is going to present their case as well as they can. And it's going to seem, well, it seems like what they say is right. Well, that's not all of it. There is a second side to it. And so giving opinions without all of the facts is foolish, it is divisive, and in some cases it can be dangerous, especially in the position we might be in, especially leadership positions, whether a leader in a company or in a church or political leaders, when they spout off their opinion without all the facts, that could potentially be dangerous. But for the rest of us, whether it's dangerous or not, it is foolish and it is divisive. We are dividing people based on things that may not even be true or not completely true. And so we need to be careful not to rush to judgment. We also need to remember that it is wrong to condone sin. Murder is wrong, even if it is committed by a law enforcement officer. We don't need to be quick to just, well, here's a law enforcement officer and look at all the good the police do, and so we need to defend him. The police do a lot of good. But you do have, as we already talked about, sometimes you have corrupt people in positions of authority, even law enforcement. And so if someone commits murder, that is wrong, even if it's a law enforcement officer that commits the murder. Stealing is wrong, as we already talked about, even if it's in response to some perceived injustice. And this would also apply to any type of destruction of property, vandalism and the rioting, the violence, burning the buildings and things like that. All of that is wrong. Like, well, but we're protesting, or these people are reacting to the injustices that exist in society. The store owner wasn't involved in that injustice. You have these people who are beaten in the street. They weren't the ones who were guilty of killing whoever may have been in the latest current event. They weren't involved in that. What did they do when there is mob violence that comes as a result of this? Well, the victims, they didn't have anything to do with the injustice, whether that's real or perceived. They didn't have anything to do with that. So these things are wrong. Stealing or violence or all of that, that is wrong, even if it's in the response to some injustice that happened. But here's the point that we need to remember, because there are a lot of people who claim to be Christians who condone this type of thing, who condone the rioting and say, well, this is to be expected. Well, what do how do you expect these people to react that they have been put down for so long? They've had injustice for so long. You have this systemic racism. Even if all that's true, even if you have all these people who are the victims of injustice and people, whether it's, you want to say that it's the inner cities that's the problem, or it's against a certain race, whatever it is. Even if you want to say that all of that is true, that that has happened, it doesn't justify the stealing and the looting and the vandalism and the violence and the burning of property and of buildings and stores. None of that is justified by this. But you have some people who claim to be Christians who will almost go so far as to defend the rioters. Now, you want to defend protesters? That's fine. That's one thing. Peaceful protesting, that's something that we all should be able to support and at the very least tolerate, even if we, whatever the particular cause is, whether we agree with the cause or not. There's nothing wrong from a moral standpoint, and also from, we think about constitutionally, there's nothing wrong with someone protesting or a group of people protesting. So to defend that is fine, but to defend the rioting, the violence, the looting, because, well, this is the response to some injustice, no, that cannot be defended. Just as a murder or some other violence by a law enforcement officer against someone of a particular race, or really even you take race out of it, and the corruption and violence and brutality by law enforcement, that can't be tolerated. Well, the rioting and the looting, that can't be tolerated either. But Paul said something that we need to remember over in Romans chapter 1. At the end of the chapter, in verse 32, after listing a long list of sins, he said that in verse 32, that although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. It is wrong to commit sin. And Paul says here, it is also wrong to condone those who practice sin. And so Christians cannot just say that, well, you know, here you have these rioting and you have all of this, and well, it's just to be expected. This is just how people are going to react when they're suffering this injustice. We cannot condone that. It is wrong to condone that. Just as sin is condemned by God, Paul explains here that condoning that sin is also condemned. To give approval for those who practice these things, that is condemned. Then the final point that I want us to notice, to be reminded of, is that two wrongs don't make a right. Rioting, looting, burning, vandalism, the violence that is so prevalent, that is not the proper response to some injustice. And let's set aside for a second whether this is actual injustice or just perceived injustice. Let's say that it's actual, real injustice that's going on and has been going on, and people are protesting it. The protests are fine. The protests are good. The rioting, the violence, the looting, that is not the proper response. When early Christians, when we read about them in the New Testament, when they faced persecution, they didn't respond by looting a bunch of stores and burning cities all across the Roman Empire. That's not how they responded. They were severely treated. They were persecuted. They were run out of town in some places. They were put in prison. Some of them were killed. None of them responded by rioting. None of them responded by burning property. None of them responded by attacking the law enforcement, the Roman soldiers. None of them responded in that way. That is not the response that we are to have. Paul said in Romans 12 and verse 21, we are not to be overcome by evil, but instead we are to overcome evil with good. And so when we see events like we're seeing right now, or the response to those events with the protests and sometimes rioting and violence, we need to remember these principles that we've talked about here, because these Bible principles don't change. You have in every case and in every news story and every time something like this happens, there are always different details. You may have something that happened that is obviously an example of police brutality that was wrong, and then sometimes you might have another one over here that someone claims it was that, but it was really just the police that reacting in a way that was more in self-defense. Details are going to change in every instance. In every case, there are going to be details that are different. But these principles about racism, about murder and stealing and civil authority, all these things, these principles don't change. And so we need to be reminded of these things and be able to respond properly, not spurting out opinions off the top of our head, but respond in a way that is proper and is biblical, is wise, because we don't want to make things worse. We want to be able to try to bring people together. We want to promote the truth in an uncompromising way, but we do want to speak the truth in love, and we want to try to bring people together rather than saying things that are unfounded or foolish and causing more damage. So I hope the things that we've talked about have been helpful if you have benefited from this episode or think that other people might be able to gain something from it. I ask you to share this with them. In the end, we have love is the basic fundamental need for all of this. And so as we close this episode, and we've gone on a little long, but I wanted to make sure we covered all of this because these things are being talked about right now. The fundamental principle behind all of this is love. That love does no harm to others. Love does not assume the worst, but instead assumes the best of people. Love seeks what is good for others, seeks for their best interest, and love leads us to treat others as God has treated us. And so the solution to all of these problems is love. The reason why these problems exist is because there is a lack of love, biblical love. John said over in 1 John 4, verse 8, that God is love. So we need to imitate Him, follow Him, follow the teachings that are found in His Word, so that we can act in a way that will bring harmony to the world around us, that can reflect Christ to others, and show the love of Him to those around us. So thank you for listening today. And again, if you found this helpful, I ask you to share this with others. And I appreciate you listening, or if you're watching this on video, for watching this long. It has gone longer than I normally do. If this is the first time you're seeing one of these episodes or hearing one of these episodes, this is a little bit unusual, but I wanted to cover everything. But normally what we do on this podcast is answer listener questions. And so if you have a question for a future episode, there are a few different ways you can submit that. You can fill out the podcast question submission form on the website. There will be a link in the show notes at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast. You can find that link. You can send a message to the Plain Bible Teaching Facebook page. You can also look up Plain Bible Teaching on Twitter at Plain Bible Teach. And you can submit the question that way. And I'll do my best to get to those questions eventually as we go through these. So again, thank you for listening. And if you have a question, there are those ways to submit it. And Lord willing, in a couple weeks, we'll have a new episode looking at a question that you have submitted and trying to give a Bible answer for that. So thanks again, and I'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others.